kept up. I was like, just pause. And then as the first one, he didn't even look up.
Yeah.
He almost ran straight into Tim. Like, he looked up last second.
Scared his little
oh my goodness.
Socks
they
off.
Were just like a
so I had a token. Buddy, I'm going to need you to pick up your shoe and come and get in the car. We have to go.
Was he, like,
oh, yeah.
Distracted?
No, Ben's
thank you. Well, good evening to day 17. I am really excited to see that the praise reports are growing. As Pastor Randy said the other day, that is our heart's cry, is that the prayer requests have multiplied. And it's so exciting to see that people believe to write that down. But as Pastor Randy said the other night, to see the praises fill the steps. We can't wait to see that happen. I want to remind us tonight what Pastor Tim said on day two. He said that prayer is the prophecy and the pledge of the answer. And so tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about our legal rights through Christ Jesus. But I want you to envision that you are sitting in the courtroom. And you are before the Father God, who's the judge of all things, as it says in Hebrews 12. You're there because Jesus has made the way. And so you're there in this inner room, this courtroom where the throne room is, because of what it promises us in Hebrews 6 and 7. That they're presiding, and we legally have a right to come. And we aren't cowering, we aren't afraid, because there's a precedent that the Lord has set in the past. And that's just simply a word that means something will serve as an example or a rule for the future. We see these eternal laws that God has set. And Jesus used some of these in the wilderness to overcome the devil. He legally, as the Son of Man, though still the Son of God, He had the right to use the spoken word to overcome. And we, when we go into the courtroom of God, we have the legal right to use his spoken word, which is what we find in the scripture. This is our conversation or our prayer with him. Because of the blood of Jesus, he literally sees us when I come in. When I come in, he sees Jesus and he doesn't see Hannah. That's an awe-inspiring concept and idea. When I see Jesus as the master, the owner of my existence in my life, I begin to live in the reality of John 15, where he remains in me and his words abide there. I begin to ask in the courtroom. I begin to petition what he's already seen for the situation, and the answers begin to come in a different light than maybe you've ever experienced before. I want to remind us that we live in a kingdom right now on earth. We are not waiting, as we've heard for the last few weeks. We're not waiting to get to heaven to experience the reality of the power in our legal right in prayer. We have that right now on earth because of Jesus. I like to tell my kids and the kids in SLAM, we're the princes and princesses, because it invokes this imagery of thrones, of courts, and of crowns. It evokes the imagery that as the princess or prince, we know exactly where we stand and what we exactly have the legal right to go to our king or our parent. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And in the kingdom, any kingdom in the world, there's always a governing set of rules or boundaries that we abide to. And these cause the king to respond. How do you figure out what the governance is for the kingdom of God? You open the scripture and you find new life. You figure out that you're truly a citizen right now in the kingdom of God when you write the regulations of the Trinity on our hearts and minds. It says, according to Hebrews 8, that he never again remembers our sins. This begins to create a culture, not of rules, but of a lifestyle with the king. Isaiah 43 tells us that he's blotted out your and my sins, not for our sake, but because he wants to do that for his own sake to not remember. And now this covenant that we have because of Jesus gives us two things, right standing and right response from the king, when we follow the governing rules outlined in the scripture. In the New Testament, we see in Hebrews 6, we see this snippet the author gives us of Abraham in conversation with God. God gives a response to Abraham, and the author says that God is literally bound to what he said. The Hebrew reference reminds us that what happened in the Old Testament still happens in the New Testament, and we are still living out the New Testament promises today. And when we look at Luke 18, there's a legal process that a judge is listening to from a widow who is a rightful citizen in his kingdom. He hears her. He's not good, the scripture says, but he hears her. And because he gets so tired of hearing her, he responds. She demanded as a citizen her rights of the kingdom, and Jesus granted us through his blood the ability to do the same. What is mind-boggling is that Jesus knew 2,000 plus years ago humanity would still be fighting to not give up in prayer. So he gave us this parable to remind us and to acknowledge that God hears us crying out day and night. He literally says God sees it, God knows. And this was over 2,000 plus years ago that he gives us this point to stand on, this legal truth that we have. This is no different than you and I going to our American judicial system and knowing our legal rights, knowing that we are in the right place, the right position, expecting a just outcome. But what's best is that God the Father is perfect compared to a human judge. And Jesus uses the Greek word here, boeo, and it captures an intensity, a persistence of prayers of the faithful ones who know their legal bounds and that they can petition the king. The widow has done her legal part in this story. And when we adhere to the parameters that God has set up in the kingdom that we live in right now, we see a conclusion because he will respond. I ask us tonight, do we know our legal rights in prayer because of Jesus? The widow in this story was doing the process according to the governing rules of her kingdom. We have those same governing rules, which is why Jesus gave this parable. 1 John 5, it reminds us that we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for what pleases him. And since we know that he hears when we make our request, we know he will give us what we ask for. Key here is that we ask for what pleases him. This isn't referring to when he feels good, when he's happy with what I've done. This has nothing to do with that. This is literally the request intention of my heart, the conversation I'm having with him. And you might say, I'm not sure sometimes if my request is holy, is right. You open the scripture. We see the process he's put in scripture that family is good, that working hard for the kingdom is good. We see these intentions of the Lord and what he has laid out legally for us to pursue. About 125 years ago, there was something called the Hebrides Revival, and it touched all of the Isle of Lewis, which was in Scotland. But what's really interesting is it began with two old, decrepit women, and they decided that they wanted to see what had been promised to their forefathers. They said, Lord, we know that you will pour out your water on a dry and thirsty land, but we don't see it. And so they begin to get together at night and pray all through the night just by themselves. Eventually, a group of men heard about it, and they began praying in a separate location at the same time. And little by little by little, as they boeoed the Lord legally, they were legally coming to him on the correct premise, something began to change. But it really wasn't until one day when a regular Joe, like you and me, stood up, a blacksmith, and he said, Lord, my heart is clean, my intention is pure, and I challenge your covenant agreement. He challenged it. I was so surprised when I read that verbatim, and I thought, oh, sheesh, what was you wrong? But he had the legal right because he was using the scripture. He knew his heart was clean, and he said, for your honor, will you pour out your presence? And from that moment on, something changed in the atmosphere. And it said that the entire island had not one household unaffected, that they would go out of their prayer times all over the island. And people, I was just telling Ben, people would just be laying on the road. They didn't come in to pray. They didn't do anything. They had walked out of their home to see, why is my environment, the atmosphere, different? Because people were boeoing. Because people were coming into their legal authority through Christ Jesus for their country. You might wonder, what do I do? What is my part? Well, you open the scripture, and we see that all throughout the Word of God, there is a cause and effect, particularly in regards to prayer. And I asked you to consider that for all of us in this room in one way or another, the DNA in us is from Pastor Peter Dosek. And we now see it continued through our pastoral leadership, through our pastors, their family. I see Pastor Peter's DNA in you. And I hope that we're reflecting that to each other, because we see the cause and effect and what prayer can have in our lives. So I ask you not to give the devil, when we pray here in a few minutes, don't give him any place of importance or authority in your legal prayer position that Jesus has promised to us. And so we're going to go ahead and move back into a song of worship, and then we will have 25 minutes of our individual prayer time. All right, tonight I want to remind you that God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, they have invited us into this triune love. It's like a triangle. And he hasn't just said we get to stand on a corner. He's actually invited us into the very middle of the Godhead in love. And so we're going to take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit, what have we laid down and stopped expecting our legal right in prayer for a situation? Because I want to remind you that the Lord is not angry. He's not even necessarily sad. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to pick that back up and to begin to boel. So we're going to take a moment of silence, and I would just ask you, ask the Spirit, what have I laid down that you want me to pick up, and what do you say about it? So Holy Spirit, I come before you now with my family of faith, and I bring the thing I've laid down and stopped bowing for. I have stopped expecting the legal right of prayer for my sibling's salvation. I'm sorry, but Lord, I come now with my family of faith for the thing that they have laid down, and we come to you. We enter into the inner courtroom. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We are pure. We are not perfect, but we are pure in heart with our intention, Father, to come before you and to ask again. We ask again, even though we might have been asking for years, or we might have stopped asking like I have. I ask again, Father, for the blessing of union with you, the blessing of expectancy in my heart. That when I come before you, when I bring forth that situation, you're there, you're waiting. You are waiting. Father, I am reminded what Jesus said in John 18. Jesus said, I pray that they will all be one, just as the Father and I are one, that we are in you. That's what you said, Jesus, that as you are in the Father, you are together, that we will be together so with you, so the world will believe that you have sent Jesus. I am praying now, Father. I remind you, we are those, not just these disciples that had been there with Jesus. We are those that continue to come. And I come forth with the situation of my sibling's salvation. And I thank you that as I boeo, that you have not forgotten my legal right. The devil has no place in our legal right of prayer for situations that please. These are pleasing. Salvation unto the kingdom is pleasing. And I stand with my brothers and sisters. And I thank you that there is no power in hell that can come against the gates of heaven. Nothing can overcome the power of the King. Father, as my king, as your princess, I stand before you asking you to hear and to answer for that which pleases you. For that which pleases you, we keep on asking, and we believe that we will receive what we ask for. We keep on seeking, and we will find. We will find the keys to the kingdom. We will find the persistency in prayer to remember our legal rights that promise us love and communion with the Holy Spirit. Father, you had no greater plan than us. You had no other plan B. You saved us by the cross, and you said, I'm going to let you stay on earth to send forth and to multiply my kingdom. So, Father God, show us in the scripture what it says about this situation that we have laid down. Let us grab the scripture. Let us run with it, and let us pray. We will be confident that you're hearing what we're saying because we know these requests, these conversations with you are pleasing to you. We know that because you have promised in the scripture. Father, we just thank you that we have not achieved yet, but we are. We have not reached perfection, but we are moving there. We press on to possess that perfection, which Christ first possessed for us. He loved us first. He called us in. You called us in, Father. You called us in. When we asked for salvation, we received it. When we seek you, we have found you. When we knock, you open your heart. You open your heart and you let us into the kingdom. We ask for more understanding of the habits of prayer. We ask for more understanding what it means to put into practice boeoing, being consistent with you day in and day out in relationship with you. Father, we just thank you that you hear us. God, I'm so thankful that you're listening day and night, night and day, that you are like a fire by night and a cloud by day. Lord, we see your answer. We see your answer. We believe that you are holy. We believe that you are good, that you are not an evil Father who does not give what is needed, giving a stone instead of a fish for hunger. Father, I thank you that by the power of Jesus, the power of Jesus' name, that all will see the glory of the Father through us. They will see the goodness of the Lord through our lives. Let us fear you. Let us fear you in prayer, knowing that this is a reality. This is a reality that through Jesus' blood, we have come in. Our names are written in heaven. We have come to God, the judge of all, the judge of all. And we come blamelessly. We come as princes and princesses. So I ask the King again, show your righteous right hand, that it is not shortened, that it cannot save. We have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between himself and the people, to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness, not crying out for vengeance. Father, we thank you for the sprinkled blood, and that as we move forward and we look beyond, behind the cross, we see it's now empty because you are sitting at the right hand of the Father. You are mediating, which literally means to talk back and forth, to intercede and to say, Hannah, what do you say? Okay, let me tell my Father. Okay, Father, what do you say? Let me tell Hannah. Thank you, Spirit, for staying. When so many times you didn't have to. Thank you for staying in our lives. Thank you for staying in our homes. Thank you for staying in our places of worship. Thank you for staying with our staff, that our staff is led to Boeo. Our pastoral staff is strengthened. They are strengthened to contend. They are strengthened to contend. Father, you are in us and we are in you. Let us understand what it means to be in the middle of the triangle, not on the outside, not on a corner, not waiting to be let in. We have knocked and you have opened and you have let us into your very heart. Lord Jesus, let the scripture begin to sing out the truth of prayer in our lives. Let the scripture begin to sing out what you wrote in the Psalms. Father, what you wrote in the New Testament is still a promise in our lives. And now, Lord, we remind ourselves that as we are asking in conversation with you, that our faith is in God alone. I check myself to make sure that I am not believing in vanities, that I am not believing in some other power looking to the right or to the left. My faith is in God alone for the situation that I laid down, but now I pick back up and I stand up and I say, we will contend. We will contend, and the devil will not win. We do not waver. Because a person with divided loyalty is as settled as a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. That is not who we are in this body of believers. No, we do not live this, and so thus we do not expect to not receive. We expect to receive because we are steady. We are not looking to the right or the left. We are listening to your voice from behind, saying this is the way to go. Lord, lastly, I ask, as 2 Corinthians 3 says, that our lives will be a testimony of who you are being continually written on us, like a living letter that we hand out to our neighbors, we hand out to our family, we hand out to each other right here in this room, a living letter of the truth of who you are, to be read, to be known, and to be alive, not dead, not waiting on the, looking to the past and not waiting on the future, but believing right now that all things through Christ Jesus' name are done according to your power. Lord, we seal it tonight in the blood of Jesus' name, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for a few more days of praying with you as a body. We thank you. for your revelatory goodness. Amen. All right, church, we'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Have a great evening.